Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what's going on?
How much, my friend? How are we doing? We survived the night okay last night?
Yeah,
the draft was fun, wasn't it?
Draft was fun, and I had a crazy workout this morning in my gym to kind of get me the energy to get through this long day. It's going to be a long day. So, yeah, I'm ready to go.
I hope today's as fun as yesterday's was.
You love that day. I hope.
I'm projecting my hope onto the Phoenix Suns tonight.
You're projecting hope.
I love draft day. Yesterday was a blast. Once again, want to thank every single buddy who made that show go, whether it was our on-site staff, whether it was our support staff back at the station. They did tremendous. All the producers, all the hosts, everybody chipped in. And it was, I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr., awesome. Darius Robinson, great pick late.
Coming up in 15 minutes.
And he's going to join us at about 2:15. Darius Robinson will. Looking forward to that.
That was incredible. We were able to overcome the table, you know, the table disaster that they set up for us. We have this terrible table that we use. And we were able to overcome that and deliver a show.
I hate to break your heart.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about the table.
I'm just saying that we were able to overcome.
I know, but nobody cares about the table.
The table and be able to put on a show.
Our audience is right now like, don't care. Marvin Harrison Jr., stud. It's amazing how popular and how that resonated with the fan base yesterday.
It's incredible how that resonated. It was overwhelming that the fans did not want to trade and get a bunch of picks and have a first next year and a first the year after. They wanted Marvin Harrison Jr. To the point that during the draft show, I brought it up, and it was a question at first. This is the most popular Cardinals draft pick since... And we all started going back, this guy, that guy, this guy. And I think we came to the conclusion that the last time the Cardinals had a pick that was this popular among the fan base was Matt Leinart.
Yep.
That's the last time it was like, wow. Now, obviously it didn't work, but the consensus back then, like every other year, even with Kyler Murray, it was somewhat a debate.
Of course.
But not with Matt Leinart. Matt Leinart, it was overwhelming. Oh my God, we got our guy.
To the point where I was thinking about that conversation when I was driving home last night, and I was thinking, like, if we were making a list right now of the most popular athletes in the Valley right now, today,
where would Marvin Harrison Jr. be on that list?
I think he'd be very, very high, and he hasn't played a down.
Is he higher? Devin Booker,
Corbin Carroll, Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly. I'm just spitballing. I don't know. Kevin Durant. Is he more? I mean, Kyler Murray isn't. It's not like universal love for Kyler Murray.
No.
You know, like
Buddha. There's universal love for Buddha. People love Buddha.
It's a weird question to be asking when the guy hasn't even been a Cardinal for 24 hours, but it was such a popular pick.
And you can't even buy his jersey.
Come on, Marvin Harrison Jr. Sign that deal so people can go get the jersey. We are live from downtown Phoenix.
Let's go, Suns.
Game 3 against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Let's weigh in with our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
Make no mistake about it. It is not debatable. The Phoenix Suns must win tonight's game. There is no other way to look at it. Lose tonight, the series is done. Win tonight, and the series is still questionable. But what I don't want to see is what Charles Barkley was doing last night on TNT after the Lakers lost to the Denver Nuggets.
I watched that game. I didn't see the postgame show.
Oh, Charles Barkley.
I didn't see the postgame show.
The king is dead, and then in front of the giant screen that, you know, Kenny always races to touch.
Yeah, I saw Shaq beat him the other day.
He did. Charles Barkley had a giant broom. And he was sweeping in front of the big screen while talking about the Lakers. Don't let that be you tonight, Phoenix Suns. Because you fall 3-0, that's all anybody's going to be talking about. Oh, my God, they're about to get swept. It's a must-win game for the Phoenix Suns tonight. There's zero debate about it.
It's a must-win game. To the point where I was absolutely blown away Now, we have seen the Suns up 2-0 and lose a series. We've seen them down 2-0. So they were up 2-0 against Milwaukee and lost the series. They were up 2-0 against Dallas and lost the series. Mm-hmm. So in our recent memory, it's like we know that this can happen. 2-0 is not the end of the world. You can overcome that. You could still win. And then you hit me with this stat today. You hit me with this.
One hit to the body.
What was that, one overhand right? What was that song? One hit to the...
That was the Rolling Stones. One hit to the body.
Hit to the body.
Yeah, one straight from the heart or something like that.
Yeah. Give me a little of that later, Lauren. Give me a little of that Rolling Stones later. You hit me with that stat, and I'm just like 93% chance the Suns are going to lose based on recent, on all history.
All history.
All history of teams that get down 2-0.
I went back the last 12 years, 13 years to see all the occasions when a team was down 0-2 and rallied to win the series. And I think what happens to us here a little locally, and I'll admit that I was a little guilty of this too, okay, is that because we here in Phoenix have such recent history with this 0-2 thing, I assumed it was more prevalent, that it happened more often, right? That it was, I mean, we think about it, in 2022, the Suns were up 2-0, they lost to the Mavs 4-3. In 2021, in the finals, the Suns were up 2-0 against the Bucks, they lost in 6 to Milwaukee. So you think about that, you think about our own recent history, it's happened twice in the last 3 years, so I just assumed it was a fairly common thing.
Right.
Gambo, in the history of the NBA, a total of 449 playoff series at some point was 2-0. 33 out of the 449 recovered to win the series. That is 7.3%.
416 times the team that was up 2-0 won the series. 33 times the team that was down 2-0. So about a 7% chance historically that the Suns can do this. Okay, that's better than zero. It's better than one. It's better than two. It's better than five. It is better than zero.
Gambo is, I love the optimism. It is a good vibes, feel good Friday, right? Gambo's peddling it today. I love it.
Listen, I know a lot of people want to write them off, and I'm not there yet, and you can criticize me all you want. I'm not there yet.
No, you can.
I mean, people, listen, you want to bury me for not ruling, but I'm fine with that. I'll live with that. I still have some faith that this team can do this, but the numbers don't. And I do say it's unlikely, right? I've said, like, it's going to be unlikely.
You've properly insured yourself, yes.
It's unlikely that they're going to win the series, but I am not counting them out. Now, lose today?
Oh,
and, like, it's a foregone conclusion.
Look, here's what I think, and you might agree with this, you might disagree with this. We're inside the FanDuel Sportsbook here at Footprint Center, okay? I'm not going to go lay money down on this, but if I were going to, I am very, very, very confident the Suns will win tonight's basketball game.
They're favored.
Very. They're favored at home. They will be very desperate. Little human nature is going to kick in for Minnesota, and I think they're going to kind of naturally downshift a little. It happens a lot when teams are up 2-0. The game I'm worried about is Sunday. I am profoundly worried about Sunday's game. I think that's
short turnaround time, older players, Kevin Durant, Eric Gordon.
And just tonight will be a little bit of a wake-up call for Minnesota. And so I'm assuming the Suns win tonight because I just think they're way too good to get swept, and they'll play with that level of energy and desperation. I'm worried about Sunday when Minnesota takes Phoenix's best punch tonight and comes back on Sunday ready to go home up 3-1. That I think the whole season comes down to Sunday. The whole season is on
because
Sunday's game four.
You're Minnesota. You don't want to come back to Phoenix. And your goal really is to split here. And then you sell it like we win this game on Sunday. We go home with a chance to close these guys out and get some rest. Let's close it. So that's what you're playing. You're playing for the ability to win it on your home court. Now, that'll motivate you. I probably would lean Phoenix tonight for sure. Can Phoenix win both? They can absolutely win both games.
Absolutely.
Now, the thing you worry about is if the Suns play really well, momentum, you get a little momentum going, you start to feel good about yourselves instead of feeling bad about yourselves. We'll see. Big question is Grayson Allen. Is he going to play tonight?
Yeah, he's questionable. Here's what he told reporters yesterday.
I'm scared.
How's the ankle?
It's good. I thought.
Better than what you thought. How'd you think it could feel?
I guess it's a better question. I thought it was going to hurt a lot. Feels pretty good.
So you feel like you'll play tomorrow?
Questionable.
Do you feel like you'll play tomorrow? Questionable. We haven't heard any updates today yet.
Yeah, I said the other day, from what I heard, he's going to play in this series. It's probably, if I'm a betting man, it's more likely he plays Sunday than he plays today. But we will try to find out whatever we can and let you know throughout the course of this show.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, he is one of the newest members of the Cardinals. He is the newest member of the Cardinals defense, and he is ready to get to work. Darius Robinson, the new Cardinals defensive lineman, the 26th pick overall in the draft, going to join us next on the Burns and Gambo show.
It's Wolf. After acing round one, what else does Monty Ossenford have up his sleeve for the rest of the NFL draft? We'll be reacting Monday at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
All right, round two of the draft set to begin at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and the Cardinals, as of right now, have the third pick in that second round. So we'll basically become a draft show, at least until the Cardinals make that pick, so we can bring you what they do here on the Burns and Gambo show. But last night, we had our big draft coverage, and we took it right up until the very end, which means we were on the air when our next guest was selected by the Arizona Cardinals. Joining us right now, the 27th pick from last night's draft, the defensive lineman out of Missouri, Darius Robinson, joining us here on Burns and Gambo. Darius, I'm Dave. This is Gambo. Welcome to the Valley. We appreciate your time, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here.
One of the best-dressed guys at the draft last night, Burns.
There we go. Looking, that's what I'm talking about.
You were looking sharp, my friend. You were looking sharp.
There we go.
I would say that was a top three outfit of anybody in the entire draft. You wore that well.
Thank you, man. You know, my favorite color is purple, and I'm just glad I was able to put it all together.
I must have been so amazing for you, you know, home in Detroit. But I want to ask, I want to start off with this. You were a basketball player, man. Canton High School in Michigan, and then you switched late to football. Tell me about that. Tell me what made you decide to make that change from being a basketball player to being a football player.
Yeah, I would say the biggest change was I needed to find a way to get to college. I needed a way to earn a scholarship. So for me, football provided that opportunity, and as I started playing, I earned scholarships. But then, more importantly, I fell in love with the process and fell in love with the game. So I really enjoyed that transition. Thank God I made it, because look where I'm at now, you know.
Was it difficult? I mean, you were a basketball player like until your junior year. I mean, you didn't have a lot of time to impress all the football colleges out there. So was it hard to impress everybody in such a short amount of time playing football?
Yeah, it definitely was, because, you know, at first I didn't get an offer for like 2 months after the season, so I would start thinking, wow, maybe this is really over with. But then I was blessed and earned a scholarship, and then I was all set going forward, but just really thankful for a lot of hard work I put in.
Darius Robinson, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show. I want to ask you a question. When you packed last night for your trip to Arizona to meet with the media and meet with the Cardinals brass, how high up on your packing list was your Cotton Bowl ring from when you guys beat Ohio State this past year to make sure you brought that with you? Or did you just wear it all the time?
Hey, I woke up, that was the first thing I put on this morning. You know, just really thankful that we won the Cotton Bowl. You know, it's so funny, you know, Marvin's my teammate now, so we was joking about it a little bit, but you know, glad we were able to get that win.
Yeah, I made sure he saw it, made sure you were able to show it to him, right? Like, he wasn't there on the field, but, right, you still kind of flashing it in front of him, right?
Right.
Yeah. Last night, you did the interview with ESPN when you came off the stage. You described yourself as a violent football player, which is a word that Jonathan Gannon has used many, many times to describe the kind of football players he wants. Tell me about how your style of playing football meshes with his vision of how to coach football.
Yeah, I would say just starting off with the technique and fundamentals, making sure I'm technique sound and everything I do. Just be consistent every time on tape. And then just the violence part is just a want to. You got to want to do it. And I feel like for me, that's kind of my thought process, is the want to. And, you know, when you match a want to with a driven person, you know, you can get a lot of great results. But I know heading into the NFL, I got a lot more work to do. So I'm excited to be here. But got to up the score a little bit, you know.
Let's talk about positional versatility. Your head coach at Missouri was on with our morning guys today, and he was talking about how, you know, you made the switch for the betterment of the team because you went from tackle to end, an edge rusher. Tell me about that, because now you come into the NFL with experience all over that defensive line. How much do you think that will help you going forward, that you're more of a versatile player?
No, that helped me a lot because I really understand different block concepts from different positions and how to attack those blocks the right way. And I'm really excited to get to work with my new team and figure out what alignments I'm going to line up in and how best to play it so that we can, you know, stop the run and have some fun. So I'm just really excited for that.
You bet on yourself that you were going to work hard and have a great year, because last year you could have came out and been a mid-round pick if you had come out for the NFL draft. You turned that into being a first-round pick. Tell me about that, betting on yourself and how hard you worked and what you needed to improve on to become a first-rounder.
Yeah, honestly, man, it was a hard decision because I really was that close to just leaving, but I had to be real with myself and ask myself, is this the best I could be? And the answer was no. So I decided to come back to school with a purpose, worked on my pass rush, worked on more hands inside, and just worked on a little technique and just really helped me build my confidence with more and more reps on my own and just feeling great and really excited for this opportunity.
Darius Robinson, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Something I learned about you listening to your press conference a couple of hours ago when we carried it here on our radio station. Tell me about the NIL money that you were getting when you were at Missouri and how you reinvested that into some charitable work that you do in that community. Because I thought that was a great story. Please tell our audience about that.
Yeah, so going into my fifth year at Mizzou turned out to be the best year of my life for many reasons. But one of the main reasons was I was able to benefit from NIL. But instead of that, I started my own nonprofit foundation. So last year I bought 100 book bags for the kids at my church and in the community. And then also that following Christmas time, I raised $3,000 for three families in need. So now my goal is to have three events each year and just giving back and really being appreciative of my blessings and giving them to others.
That's really, really cool. Darius Robinson joining us here. I want to ask you about the Senior Bowl, too. You were voted overall practice player of the week when you were there. How much do you think your performance that week in the Senior Bowl led to what happened last night and the moment you had getting picked in the first round?
I think it's a lot, man. You know, in Missouri, the number one core value is always compete. And I competed all SEC season, and then when I got to the Senior Bowl, on stage with the other high best players of their teams, you know, I just had the same mindset, just attack, attack, attack. I was really blessed to win that award, and I definitely think it helped me a lot. But, you know, I'm just trying to be better than the last time I was on tape.
Tell me, and be honest with me here, did you think you were going to go in the first round? What were you thinking when it got to pick 24, 25, 26, 27, and the end of the round was coming near?
Yeah, no, I knew I was going to go first. If I thought I wasn't going first, I wouldn't have went to the draft. But I was really excited about the opportunities and the conversations between all the teams. But I'm most excited with my team, you know, the Arizona Cardinals. And, you know, I'm so glad to be a Cardinal.
Did you know you were going to go to the Cardinals?
You know, it's crazy. If I had to tell you a top three before, they definitely would have been in the top three.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Campbell.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, one more for me. I wanted to ask you about staying the 5 years of Missouri, because your head coach today on with our morning show really gave you a lot of credit. He said you stood by him when a lot of others didn't, that you could have left and gone somewhere else, maybe even made more NIL money. But he was really fond of just how loyal you were to the program and him. Tell me about that, the decision to stay at Missouri, even when you became a good football player, and not leave.
Yeah, that was one of the things that stuck out to me was Drink. Drink was a guy of high character and high value, and just being bought into his program and just understanding his philosophy and the end goal. So for me, I'm a very coachable person, so just following along with my coach, and we just grew a great relationship. And, you know, he was at my draft party last night, but it was just a crazy opportunity for us to really see all this come together from the start of our relationship to now and then continuing to grow.
Really good stuff. Darius, again, congratulations on being the 27th pick. Congratulations on being a Cardinal. We look forward to meeting you in person. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you so much.
Darius Robinson joining us live from the Cardinals headquarters.
High character guy.
And Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah, very high character guy. You just tell. Very, very high character guy, no doubt about it. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, first a reminder, since we're talking Cardinals, they have just secured their franchise wide receiver. We want you to gear up for football season. Text the word jersey to 620-620 for your chance to win a Marvin Harrison Jr. jersey at some point, as well as a Kyler Murray autographed jersey. Text the word jersey to 620-620. 620 now for your shot at winning. A day off. How refreshed and ready are the beat-up D-backs for a win tonight in Seattle? The manager, Torrey Lovello, for his weekly visit coming up here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Your exclusive home of the D-backs.
Diamondbacks.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
D-backs manager Torrey Lovello joins Burns and Gambo to talk D-backs baseball. Brought to you by Estrella Jalisco, official cerveza partner of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Doesn't usually work this way, but I want to offer my apologies to Torrey Lovello for keeping him waiting like that.
You kept him waiting.
Torrey, I apologize.
you guys owe me about 15 of these, so no problem at all.
You were rotten on hold for about 3 minutes. I'm like, man, I feel bad. I'm sorry. So I apologize, Torrey.
I was. Wow. Casey Wilcox was following me outside because I'm walking around the warning track right now, getting a little fresh air, and he's like, by the time you go from the clubhouse to outside, there's a really good chance you could forget. So I'm going to wait and watch you dial it. So it all works out good.
Yeah. All right, Skip, I know this is not the way you manage, and I'm sure that you were irate and probably lost your temper a little bit. But I've got to ask if Ketel Marte is going to be in the lineup today after what happened on Wednesday. 5-1 game, ninth inning, runner on first, does not run out a ball that ends up being a double play. Might have been safe if he had run it out. I know that's not the way you manage. I'm sure something was said. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, first of all, you're right. Arizona Diamondback way is we get down the line, we hustle, we do our job, and you know, we don't half-step things around here, and I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of our reputation. People outside of our organization compliment us all the time. Win or lose, we're always playing hard. So certainly it's something that we've talked about internally. And look, he's playing tonight. It was a scheduled off day for him. He's a very, very good athlete. His body can be temperamental at times. So we do give him a little leeway inside of his day to pull back. But that certainly wasn't a case the other day. So we're going to take care of that internally and figure out the best way to keep plowing forward. Ketel's a special player. He's a great player. And I want him to have a reputation as such. And we're going to enhance that reputation by him playing hard. And he always does. It was just a little bit of a lapse. And we're going to work through that with him.
Okay, so no punishment back in the lineup tonight.
Yeah, no, I think if it becomes an epidemic and they're continuing to do it and they're disobedient to my request, we're gonna have problems. But we're a long way away from that with Ketel. He's been playing hard. He's having a good year, and we're gonna be okay.
I know Bernsey's gonna ask you about some of the injuries later, but I do want to ask you about Blaze Alexander. We've had a lot of talks about him and some of the defensive struggles early, but he has really come on lately offensively. Those last seven games with the 9 RBIs and the 364 batting average, he hit a home run. His offense has been a real plus for you guys. What do you see out of Blaze right now?
Yeah, first of all, Blaze is a great player. Tooled up, I'm going to say. You know, and he's learning how to be a great player. And, you know, great things happen to players that go out and work hard and expect to go out and get the job done on a level that doesn't really go backwards. And we want to continue to make sure that these young players are growing and learning and grasping our philosophy. So he has been doing that from the moment he arrived in this organization. He did that through player development. He's continuing to do that now as a big leaguer. And the thing that's most thrilling about him is that he's just not pull side, get the hammer out, try and hit pull side home runs. He's working the entire field, got a real good approach. He understands how the pitchers are working him. And then he goes out there and he kind of counterpunches what's going on. He's taking what the pitcher can give to him. So that, to me, is where we're at with him. He's continuing to learn as a defensive player, but he's tooled up as good as anybody we have. And we got to continue to enhance that. He's accepting the coaching, and we'll keep marching forward with him.
Torrey Lovello, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. And yes, Gambo is correct. I am going to ask you about the injuries, if I could, for a minute or two here. And obviously, I want to start with Merrill. When the news came down a couple of days ago, you guys have since had an off day. I know he came back to the Valley to get more tests done. Have you received any kind of clarification at all in terms of a more specific when he might be back kind of timeline?
Nothing yet. But, you know, we continue to get into the diagnosis. We're getting other opinions. You know, a teres major strain, as he talked about, is something that takes a little bit of time. It's like a hamstring, but it happens to be in a very important part of how you throw the baseball. And we just got to be mindful of of the athlete. It wasn't anything that we were expecting. Merrill takes unbelievable care of himself. He's a great athlete. He stands for everything right about the Arizona Diamondback organization. He just got clipped. He got hurt. So wasn't anything we predicted. So we got to just pull back on him. We've had a few doctors examine the MRIs, and you know, it's all within the same space. Either the gray area inside of those injuries might be read a little bit differently, but for the most part, he needs to wait until he's asymptomatic. We'll probably re-image him in several weeks, not one or two, more than that, and then just continue to push forward when he can get a baseball in his hand and resume throwing activities. But for right now, he's resting, and he's got to take time to heal. And once he gets through that, we're going to have a plan moving it forward.
All right, so we're trying to have, like, a good vibes Friday around here. We try to do it, like, all the time.
Okay,
so,
Gino Suarez.
Exactly. We learned it from Gino Suarez about good vibes and just, you know, being chill and everything. So give me some good news, Torrey. Who's close to coming back? You've got a litany of injured guys. Give me some guys who are close to coming back. What do you got for me?
I love it. I like the good vibes. We haven't had a lot of good vibes, I'm not going to lie. This team is grinding, and we know that we've had some guys that are banged up, and I can't explain how or why it's happening. But the good vibes, you know, Paul Sewald is speeding towards a return. When that happens, we're not sure. And Alec Thomas is speeding towards a return. But, you know, he's going to be playing in the game today, and he's not going to come off the bases. He's going to stay on the bases. So he's done some running, and he's getting dirt on a spike. So he's going to hit and run the bases in an extended game, and we're really excited about that. So we're pushing it forward. When it happens, we're not sure, but it's going to happen sooner than later, and we're super excited about that.
Do you feel as a manager like, okay, we're obviously down a lot of key players, and it's hard to go out there, but we've got to compete. Do you feel like us, we kind of feel like, hey, just keep your head above water, play 500 baseball till you get everybody back in a month, month and a half, whatever it is, and then go kick some ass. I know you want to win every game, but that's somewhat unrealistic. Do you think that way too? Like, we just got to hang in there until we get everybody back?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it. I love it, Gambo. You're right. I wish I could say a lot of bad words to support what I'm thinking. But, you know, it isn't a Sunday football game where you can just go crash into one another and say the most physical, strongest team is going to win, because we do have great athletes. It just takes a little bit of time for some of these understudies to figure out their role, figure out who they are, and how do they fit into this team. And that's what we're talking about daily with some of the younger players. And that's exciting to me. I love when the younger players come in and they do their job. And in my opinion, you're talking about hold and serve. I feel like we can hold serve. And you know what? We can break serve a few times, and we can come out on top of this. And when we do, we're going to have those understudies with all those meaningful innings and meaningful at-bats coming back with a very healthy starting group. We're going to be even better. But I love where you're at. And yes, we do talk about that. But I feel like we can do better than just hold serve. I want us to win more games than we lose at all times. It is what it is, and we just got to keep fighting the fight, and we're going to be okay.
I only have time for one more. I was going to go Jordan Montgomery, but let me go Jake McCarthy, because I want to know how close he was to not making this roster out of spring training, because he's hitting 315. His defense has been great. He's got a 389 average over his last seven games, which is second best on the team. I'm a big fan of his. I really do like his game. How much of a battle was it for him to make the opening day roster?
Well, look, we were projecting a lot of different things along the way. His name was involved from start to finish about, you know, getting a good look, making a team. And it was up to him to go out and perform. You know, but anything was possible. Look, Blaze Alexander made the team. We were having conversations about him going down at the beginning of spring training, right, when we were doing our projections. Jake was in our thoughts from start to finish. We weren't sure how it was going to play out, and he's taken full advantage of it. This game is full of growing pains. You go back to 22, he was our three hitter. He was hitting the ball everywhere, playing great. 23, a lot of growing pains. The team was, teams were making adjustments to him, much of what Corbin Carroll's going through right now. And it's just part of growing up and being a good big leaguer. Jake is slowly coming out the other end, understands his game, and he's helping us win baseball games, and that's the bottom line.
Torrey, we appreciate the time. Best of luck against the Mariners, as always. We appreciate the conversation. Good vibes Friday, man. Carried into tonight.
All right, boys. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Sounds good. Troy Lovello joining us here live from Seattle, where they take on the Mariners tonight. You'll hear that game on ESPN 620. We've got the Burns and Gambo Show podcast. Subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You'll never miss our show, the Burns and Gambo Show podcast, and it's brought to you by Carol Has the Buyers, your home sold guaranteed realty. Kevin Durant says it's not going to take a rah-rah speech to get things going. So if not that, then what? You'll hear next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Social Poll. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
All right, I was at the station earlier today, and Mitch showed me this poll question, and I liked it because I'm just curious.
Mikey liked it.
I did. I liked it. Because I'm curious who answered in the negative. You know, what percentage? Mitch, it's your poll question. I thought it was interesting. So go ahead and share it with the masses.
I've lately liked doing these poll questions where we put the obvious answer out there just to see how many people detract, right? Yes.
Right.
So here's the question, and you'll recognize the obvious answer instantly. What grade would you give the Arizona Cardinals for their first round of the draft last night? A or any other grade? Individual option.
They got Marvin Harrison Jr. and they got a guy who's an edge rusher that can play some tackle.
That's why I like the question. The obvious answer is A. And a vast majority of our audience is going to say A. I want to know who doesn't say A. How many? What percentage?
A guess?
Do you guys want to guess?
I was asking.
How many people out there are just hard graders?
Your teachers, right?
Hard graders.
I had a few in high school.
Hard grade, right. Like, yeah, you couldn't please them.
College,
you couldn't, you couldn't please them.
They were perfectionists, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you could do everything right. I'm not giving you I'm not giving you a perfect score on that.
Put me down for 11% saying anything other than an A.
Gambo, you got a number?
15% say anything other than an A.
It's a single digit. 9%.
Nine!
Give it anything other than an A for their first round last night.
Wow. We're gonna talk more about the first round. We're gonna preview the second round. Basically at 4:00. We're not gonna do the whole show like this, but certainly since the draft starts at 4:00, we will become a draft show for at least like a half hour. Right? Like, we'll bring you the first pick of the second round, the second pick of the second round, and then the Cardinals have the third pick. Now, if they trade out, we might kind of punt and move back a little bit. But if they stay put, you will absolutely hear that pick here on Arizona Sports, and we will bring it to you so you can be caught up on what's going on with the Cardinals. And who knows, we may even still be on the air when they make their third-round pick. We're live here at Footprint Center. Suns and the Timberwolves tonight, and the expected, I think, news coming down about Grayson Allen, but what did we find out?
Grayson Allen is going to try to warm up today in the pregame from what I'm hearing, but I don't think he's going to go tonight. Okay. I think it's unlikely that Grayson Allen plays today. More likely Sunday. I would give a lean towards Grayson Allen does not play tonight and that he does play in Sunday's game 4.
And when I say kind of expected, just based off of your reporting yesterday or the day before in which you anticipated that Grayson Allen would likely not play in this one,
yes,
but might be
yes.
available for
I think
Sunday.
It's unlikely so he plays today.
This is kind of what we expected.
Yes.
And so it's I assume Royce O'Neal starts. The bench becomes thin. Who gets the bulk of the playing time now off the bench? And since O'Neal is going to start, I would assume Bol Bol gets some minutes. We'll see. Does Josh Okogie get some minutes in this series? I know we speculated about that a couple of days ago.
Like to see that.
A defensive option with some of those backcourt guys.
But it's very likely your best three-point shooter is not going to be able to play in this game tonight. That's tough. But, you know, there's other guys that are going to have to step up. They've got the capability to do it. So hopefully those players will rise to the occasion.
It's game 3 tonight, and so good job on the news there. I mean, it's not good news. It's actually terrible job on the news. I wanted you to tell me that he was going to be playing.
I wish I could tell you he's going to be playing,
you're just absolutely stomping all over a Good Vibes Friday.
He may try to warm up in the pregame just to see what it looks like. But I think that it's most likely he plays Sunday, and I think it's unlikely that he plays today.
Kevin Durant said yesterday during practice, after practice, he was asked if he feels like the communication is good with this team right now. And then he started talking about rah-rah speeches. I'll let him explain.
Yeah, I think so. And so we just didn't play. We just didn't play well. We just didn't execute it. You could talk all you want. If you don't execute what you just talked about, it does you no good, you know? So, yeah, talking and rah-rah speeches and all that stuff is cool to a certain point, but you got to go out there and execute. I mean, we haven't done that. We've done it in spurts, don't get me wrong, throughout this series, but it's not good enough doing it in spurts, you know? So sometimes you just got to do it instead of thinking too much or talking too much. And I think we got guys that done that before who've understood that, you know, it's just about getting the job done at the end of the day, regardless of what's being said or how you feel or what's on your heart as a person or player. Just get your job done. I think we'll do that, but we got to put it together consistently. And I think that's what our season's been. Sometimes we put it together for long stretches, and then sometimes we don't.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong.
No.
They don't need
put it together for long stretches, and then sometimes we don't. He's right. They've got to put it together for a long stretch, and I think that's the biggest question we're seeing. Like, you know, it's got to be, you know, listen, a lot of teams play in spurts here and there. In this series so far, Minnesota's had the better spurts. They've had the better little runs and spurts in the game to kind of put it away, and the Suns haven't been able to answer those. So you want to see the Suns have those. You want to see, look, nobody's going to play, you know, from start to finish, 35 points a quarter, and you score 140 in the game. Like, it's unlikely. You're going to have lulls. You're going to have a good quarter, a bad quarter. Somebody's going to come out of the game. Things are going to change, but you've got to find a way to put together some good stretches of basketball when it matters most in the basketball game. That's what you want to see tonight.
Yeah, I just think the Timberwolves have done a better job of adjusting kind of on the fly. You know, game two, I think, was a perfect example. The Suns were doing a really decent job bottling up Anthony Edwards. Karl Anthony Towns was not great by any stretch of the imagination. And Minnesota just found another way, whether it was Jaden McDaniels, whether it was Mike Conley, whether it was Rudy Gobert having another good day. And I think the Suns have failed to do that in the same manner Minnesota has, you know, when hey, we're taking this away from you, or this isn't working for you, okay, let's adjust on the fly, and let's go to plan B or plan C or plan D. And the Suns have not been good about that so far in this series at all. He also, we mentioned earlier, the teams that have come back from down 0-2, Kevin Durant was on one of those teams, Oklahoma City, back in the Western Conference Finals. And he was asked about the experience of that, and he kind of said it really wasn't that big of a deal that he brings that experience to the table. I'll let him explain.
Just got to go out there and do your job, man. Like I said, we can... to give a speech about what it's like in the playoffs or what a series was like going down 0-2 and coming back. Like, I can go give that speech in the locker room all I want. You still got to go out there and execute the game plan that we got in place and go out there and play hard as we can to get this one win. Possession at a time basketball, you know. So, yeah, all that stuff is cool, but at the end of the day, like, these guys know what it is around this time. Like, it's playoff time. Like, everybody understands it. So, I don't think we got to do anything extra.
My number one takeaway is that Kevin Durant, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, does not really care about conversing about this. Doesn't feel like a lot of, you know, it's
we got to play.
This is not about talking.
We
got to
win.
Playing, right?
Got to win. We just got to go out there and execute and one possession at a time and win the game, and none of this other stuff matters.
Yep. We've got the Burns and Gambo Show podcast. You can subscribe on your iPhone or your Android. You will not miss our show because it's in podcast form. You can listen to us whenever you want, however you want. The Burns and Gambo Show podcast is brought to you by Carol Has the Buyers, your home sold guaranteed realty. We both thought they got an A for their first round picks. What did everyone else think of what the Cardinals did last night? I'll give you a hint. Starts with the letter A next on the Burns and Gambo Show.